been enlarging. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Today's intro and outro music was brought to you by Barbara Lush and Bobby Torres from their CD album Surprisingly Good For You. That music will be featured in Dana Schaefer's show. If you missed any of this interview, you can listen online later today at kboo.fm/stageandstudio. You can also get post events or get previews by joining our Facebook page. And that's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to our engineer, Judy Feistel. Till next week, I'm James Dixon with Stage and Studio. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Stage and Studio was made possible by KBOO members and support from PD Expendables. PD Expendables stage and studio supplies. PD Expendables sells and rents to film and theater production, from gel and globes to paint and lights, featuring the latest Airy LED lighting. They can be reached at 503-887-5880 or on their online store, which is pdxpendables.com. pdxpendables.com.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir by Boom Arts, Friday, October 6th at 7:30 p.m. at the Old Church Concert Hall in Portland. Boom Arts is launching its sixth season with Obie Award-winning artist and activist Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir. The activists who sing bring humor, music, and their unique DIY spiritual life to the daily struggle of today's earth crisis. Again, that's Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir by Boom Arts, Friday, October 6th at 7:30 p.m. at the Old Church Concert Hall, 1422 Southwest 11th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hi there. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO FM 90.7 Community Radio. My name is Eric Bartels, and our guest today is the Portland artist and educator Sherita Town. Sherita, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
Your work, along with that of more than 40 artists, is on display in an exhibit called This is a Black Spatial Imaginary at the Portland Community College Paragon Gallery on North Killingsworth Street. Can you tell us about the show?
Sure. It's actually a multi-site exhibition. So there, it starts at PNCA's gallery, the Innovation Studio.
Pacific Northwest College of Art, where you are a
teacher.
Professor, teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the work is actually on the northeast corner of the building. So it's in a way, kind of the work goes through the wall and travels northeast. So the idea is that the entire project, This is a Black Spatial Imaginary, is posited on the historical and contemporary movement of Black people in Portland. So the first community of Black people here settled by Union Station, working as porters and things like that. And so at the same time that PNCA, where the work is, was built, so was the Broadway Bridge. And so that's when Black folks started to cross the bridge and travel eastward. And so the first heart, if you will, of the Black community was where Memorial Coliseum is today. And so, yeah, the work starts at PNCA with a series of prints and video and some archival research and a bit of an installation type of situation and a zine that we made. And that particular part of the exhibition was in collaboration with Lisa Bates, who teaches urban studies at Portland State University. And the video was made in collaboration with Dustin Tolman. He's a local videographer. Yeah, and so that first part is kind of these prints and video, and the prints are kind of this rupture in you know, traditional prints, but also the urban planning document. So we appropriate these maps and we appropriate aerial photos taken from 1948, and we appropriate this archival footage to really look at the different waves of Black dispossession and displacement in Portland. So that's the starting point. And then we had our first activation of the show was at Memorial Coliseum, where we screened a video, which was an interview with an elder in the community, as she kind of pointed us even further north to the second wave or the second heart of Portland's Black community, which was in Williams Ave, which was raised by the then Emmanuel Hospital. So she talks about that history and she shows family photos, and we kind of had essentially kind of like a drive-in theater, but right at the foot of the Broadway Bridge. So I haven't even talked about PCC Paragon, which was the first part of your question. But yeah, you have a question.
At PNCA, does the viewer get a sense of what you talked about, what brought African Americans to that part of town at that time? Is that sort of explained or displayed in that first installment?
A little bit, just in terms of in the video, we have some, the video is really a kind of collage of different quotes from between the 40s up until the present period. And so some of the quotes from Dr. Nortvel Unthank in 1942, when he's talking about kind of this long-standing plan to designate an area just for then the word Negroes, right, in Albina, that like it's unfortunate that these people that come in the time of war to help out and to be here and just to live are, you know, treated with disrespect when they get here. So it really kind of starts from that moment, the quotes do, and it has some quotes from the Emmanuel, Displaced Persons Association, the EDPA, quotes from them from the 1970s when they had their meeting with Portland City Council about, you know, what was going to happen to them. And then it has quotes from the Portland African American Leadership Forum, PALF. It has quotes from the Interstate Alliance to End Displacement in 2000 when they were predicting the ways that the MAX line was going to, you know, bring about displacement and gentrification in their community. So it really maps kind of, you know, this trajectory of Black life from, you know, from the last like 60, 70 years in Portland. That video does.
And the second stop is at Memorial Coliseum or near Memorial Coliseum?
That's right. So shortly after the show opened, 2 days after it opened, we had a screening right at the foot of the east side of the Broadway Bridge. So there's this public art there called Terra Incognita. And there's also a boulder there that is kind of just sitting right by the sidewalk there. And it's a boulder that's it says something about like this guy Washington and his wife, their house arrived by steamboat up the river, and this is like, we're putting this rock here for this house that was built here. And it's kind of like, whatever, I can't stand that boulder thing, Black thing. And so, but the thing is that the boulder was kind of put there at the same time that they were raising the neighborhood. And so that first activation in the in between Northwest and Northeast, it was kind of what we were thinking of as like a shadow memorial. So we kind of put a light box behind the boulder itself within the shadow of the boulder. And we made a counter plaque that, you know, recognized the over 150 homes and sites of life that were demolished to make way for the Memorial Coliseum. And I mean, predominantly Black homes. Mm-hmm. So we put that plaque there, and then, yeah, we screened this video of an elder in the community just talking about moving to Portland and the type of community that she lived in and how she wishes there was a way that people could come back to North Northeast Portland. So in that way, it's kind of like you know, having in open air and out loud this other story or this shadow archive or this kind of, you know, lived life, if you will, up in the open air for people to hear.
Is there a third installation in between that site and Paragon Gallery on Killingsworth Street?
Yeah, the next activation is actually more in the form of a publication. So we're working on a newspaper, and that's going to be about the current what Prosper Portland, formerly Portland Development Commission, is calling the Hill Block site. But that means, and I did scare quotes there, but that basically means the corner of North Williams and North Russell. Because at the same time that the show went up, Legacy Health, formerly Emmanuel Hospital, and Prosper Portland, they announced that this site would be developed, right? And that in part the area would honor the African American community or its history in this area, which is an interesting choice of words, considering that it was those two people that completely raised the community. I think you can imagine the tension there. And also just that 4 years ago, the Portland African American Leadership Forum asked them to relinquish the land to the Black community in the form of a community land trust. So mm-hmm. It's a very charged piece of land. And, you know, like much of the city right now, you know, the Broadway corridor, that includes the post office. It's right across the street from PNCA where I work. And also this site and other sites by I-5 Memorial Coliseum. These are all areas that are on the docket to be developed, but they're also the sites of, like I was saying, sites of Black life, but also Black trauma. So it's kind of an interesting time to keep tabs on them in terms of the promises that they're making to the community.
Are we talking about the strip of land? There's several blocks North Williams and...
I'm talking specifically about the piece of land, the empty lot that has been empty for about two generations, almost 40 years, on the corner of North Williams and North Russell. So the paper that we're writing, a publication as part of the, as kind of the wrapping up the exhibition, is the second activation. So that's the in-between, right? And then it moves on to PCC Paragon.
Paragon Gallery. And what can you tell me about, full disclosure, I have not had the opportunity to sort of visit the gallery and see what's there. Do you have any favorite pieces? I don't mean for you to have to single anything out, but what maybe something that gives us a sense of what we'll see there, what the viewer would...
Well, one of the things that, I mean, you know, I love the space at Paragon Gallery, and Sandy Sampson, who's the director there, is doing a great job of really kind of handing the space over to me to use in different ways, not just for putting objects on display, but also for offering up to different Black creatives and thinkers and performers and dancers in the community to do public programming. So this weekend, for example, we're going to have a dance performance with probably four Black movement dance performance artists. But the show itself, I mean, I don't have a favorite. I love all of them. All of them breathe a certain kind of life into that space and the city in general. And it's not just, by the time you get from Northwest to Northeast, the Paragon Gallery is curated in a way that by the time you get there, it's both local and global Black geographies. So we've moved from just the lens or scope of Portland into a national scope and also an international scope. So of the over 40 artists that are on display, you have, you know, a quarter or so, a third of the artists are based in Portland. But then you have artists, you know, you have Black feminists in the Netherlands. You have video artists from Brazil, from the Dominican Republic, from all over, really. If you're coming up Killingsworth from the Max line, like the first piece that you're going to see is a piece called Data Crop Sculpture. And it's right in the window and the sun kind of trinkles through. And the data crop, it really looks like these two rows of corn. But the corn leaves are made of garments. And the garments are actually the artist, Ariel Jackson. Those are her grandmother's garments. And so she took her grandmother's garments and she quilted them and she put them through a typewriter and she types the notes that she took as she read a book called Dispossessed by Pete Daniels. And that book researches the dispossession of land of black farmers in the civil rights movement. So as she was doing research on the reasons that her own family lost their land in New Orleans, she's from New Orleans, she found these kind of larger facts around many families and many farmers that lost their land. So those notes, those citations are literally typed onto the leaves. And then the dirt that is holding the data crop sculpture, like that's actually from my backyard. But and we spray and water them every day. Like that's part of the instructions from the artist. So that's one of the pieces. And I mean, I'd love to talk about some other ones, but you probably have other questions for me.
What's been the reaction that you've seen to the exhibit, whether it was on site or at one of the other locations? What kind of feedback have you gotten? And I should mention, the exhibit runs through October 14th, so there is still an opportunity to get to these sites and see these works. In a general way, or maybe there was one something in particular that stayed with you, what have you gotten back?
I mean, there's the gallery at PCC Paragon is just so dense. And I sit in there and, you know, I get work done just like on my laptop, just to even just see the way that people are interacting with the work, even though it's already installed and I kind of did that bit. But, you know, I hold meetings in there and I sit with the work and I see the way that people look through the gallery. 'Cause, you know, it's these big windows, it's these storefront windows. Because in part, it's kind of just research for me even to see the way that people are, you know, Portland populations are engaging with this work, this all-black show. And I think that it's really interesting to see people walk past and not really pay attention and then all of a sudden see these, silk posters hanging in the window, really kind of weightless and lovely with the words, I woke up this morning to bring a slow genocide to a screeching halt. And so it's really interesting to see people really stop and take in that phrase. That's from a piece by Joseph Coulier III. So even just passersby, I really like them being kind of stopped in their tracks by that phrase, by that sentiment. But I mean, there's just tons of ways that people are kind of stopped in their tracks by these pieces. And I think in part, just besides the general brilliance of the people in that show, and I mean, we have video, we have sculpture, and there's an installation of a living room where you can see like 20 videos, as I said, from all over the world. And that's by U-Read Press. That stands for United Republic of the African Diaspora. And that's a collective of Shawnee Peters, who's based in Harlem, and myself here based in Portland. But people just love to sit. Like, the place is welcoming to sit and see all of these works. I mean, there's just a really big range.
You, along with Lisa Bates, who you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, are the artists in residence in the Humboldt neighborhood, which includes PCC Cascade, Jefferson High School, North Portland around, I don't know the exact parameters, but along North Albina Avenue and Killingsworth Street. What does that mean? And how long have you held that title?
Well, that's interesting because you're the first person to announce that publicly, so I hope you don't get me in trouble. But no, I'm just kidding. what does that mean? So actually, we have a meeting this week with RAC, the Regional Arts and Culture Council, to get more details. But that basically means that we're going to get to engage the Humboldt community for a year. And it's through their program called Intersections. So there's actually going to be three artists in residence in a row over a three-year period, and we're the first ones. And so what does that look like? I mean, Lisa and I both have a lot of existing relationships in that neighborhood. You know, this is Like I have two exhibition tours and kind of engaging with Jeff High Youth on Monday and Tuesday next week. And that was, you know, that's just because after putting up this whole show and all the public programming and stuff, me and Lisa were having a burger next door to the gallery, and we're like, have we done our favorite thing yet, which is to engage young people?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just, that's one of the things I'm most excited about, is to get to be with them in the space. But so, yeah, as I said, like, as these artists and residents of the neighborhood, like, it's really just about cultivating the ongoing relationships we have with people and young people at Jeff High or at Unite Oregon or these different places, to really examine and, you know, bring to life, you know, a certain set of inquiry and a certain accountability that we have to the Black community in the Humboldt neighborhood, and to center that experience.
When, as a teacher at Pacific Northwest College of Art, you're dealing with young people who come to you, they already have recognized their interest and maybe their talents as artists. With younger people, high school kids, you're going to them. What's the message that you take to them? What's the number one thing you want them to understand?
I actually, I work in a way that I'd actually rather flip that. I'd like them to relay to me the number one message that they'd like me to understand. You know, actually, like, one of the first deep relationships that I had with a Jeff High student, and there's many, like, I love so many of the Jeff High students that I met while working there, is with the local community organizer, now community organizer, London Elliott. I met London when we were on a van ride to Ferguson a couple weeks after Mike Brown was murdered. And on that ride back, as we were like, wow, we've experienced this organizing in the basement of a church in St. Louis, and we've met so many people from around the country, and now we're going back, and what, how are we going to carry this back with us? Like, the first question that London asked was, like, I wonder what it's going to be like for young people here in St. Louis, and, like, when I get back to school, because, you know, I have the first week of school next week, and they have school here, like, what's it like for them after this, you know, after these riots and this murder? And so, like, I asked London in that moment, will you be my mentor? Like, you know, I'm like someone in my 30s and I'm asking a 17-year-old, like, will you be my mentor? And so, like, to this day, like, we still call each other mentor and mentee, because more adults, especially working artists, need to look to young people and their knowledge and their genius and just their experiences. Like, if we're talking about being future looking in this city and what equity looks like we have to ask young people. So I don't have any message to them. Like, I'm like, what message do you have for everybody else? Because people aren't listening to you enough.
Okay, let me rework that then a little bit. Once young people bring you their message, how do you sort of carry that ball forward as an artist, as an educator?
Yeah, I mean, I try. We all try. Oh, gosh. I mean, I've done a lot of projects that are about carrying that message forward, I guess. So I guess it's about 3 years ago now, I did a project called De-Gentrifying Portland. And that project, De-Gentrifying Portland led to Our City in Stereo, which is the second project, which led to this project, This is a Black Spatial Imaginary. And, you know, that project involved photography and
video.
So photography, self-publishing, video with Jeff High Youth, but also youth, a loose definition of youth of like 18 to 25. So learning video skills at then Portland Community Media, now Open Signal, learning, and also here at KBOO, you know, we brought youth down here to KBOO. And I know that some of the participants in those workshops, I think that they got taught how to use radio by Delphine here, Crescenzo. They still use KBOO to this day, you know. So in turn, like, it's both about actually using those modes of communication, so video or radio or photography or self-publishing, to carry that message, but also to introduce young people to these resources to have that continued access to, you know, if they decide, you know, to keep saying the things that they want to say and to keep having that expression available.
I think there's a sort of lack of fear for a lot of young kids around art because it can be very open-ended. They can sort of be liberated to kind of express themselves and without any sort of fear of failure or without some of the hesitations that come with other core classes in high school, mm-hmm. science, math. Have you found that? Have you found that art is, that young people find some safety and some comfort and some confidence in different forms of art?
Yeah, I think that that's definitely one of the ways that it functions. Yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways that it functions. I think but I also think like finding that, you know, being fearless and finding comfort in it, but also navigating your fears through art as a process is interesting. And I also think it's just like a decision-making process. Like, it's nice to see them make one decision after another and craft something, you know, as artists, as young artists.
And problem solving.
Yeah. Yeah. I think problem solving is a big part of it. But also, I don't know, like, I don't want to be really hokey about it. Like, also art's to, like, be messy and make some people upset and be antagonistic too, you know, like it's not just these, you know, kind of fundraising goals or like whatever, like it's a lot more than that too for young people and for us too, you know.
What is the importance of art to a community more broadly, to a city, and maybe specifically art now in Portland?
I mean, I think that to answer that question more specifically, like to what myself and Lisa Bates are interested with in this project, is that there's a really good metaphor from Clyde Woods. He's a black geographer, I guess you could call him that, and he's written a lot of books. He has this metaphor in an article called Life After Death. And he talks about the tools of a coroner. So the tools of a coroner are to assess the cause of death.
Right.
But those same tools in the hands of the surgeon are actually life-giving. And so I think that right now in a city like Portland and a lot of cities that have, you know, been in some ways built or planned by putting a freeway through a black neighborhood, or by building a hospital and raising houses to build a hospital. They did so by using words like the word blight and treating black people as some kind of cancer that could be cut out, or treating black community as already dead, so it doesn't matter how expensive the condos that you're building are because they're not here anymore, right? So those same tools of assessing, you know, death on the mortuary slab, those same tools in the hands of the surgeon are life-giving. So what art, the importance of art in a city like right now is to remind people of black life in this. I mean, that's what I'm interested in right now, is that, you know, we're not dead. Listen for every breath and also listen to the breath that we continue to breathe into the city and contribute.
Sharita, people want to know more about the exhibit at Paragon Gallery. Where do they go?
So you can go on Facebook. There's you just type in "This is a Black Spatial Imaginary," and you'll see the remaining events that we have. So, like I said, there's dance and movement, and there's a conversation on photography from a local photographer, Maya Charnel. Intizar Avioto, Akela Auer, Olieka Kingiola have a dance performance this Saturday. Monday, there's a screening of Welcome to the Terror Dome with local artist Ariella Tai. And then we'll also have a closing reception with snacks. I mean, all the things I do always have snacks. And then next Saturday, we'll have two artist talks, one from the Black School, who will be coming from Harlem, and then one from Christopher Paul Jordan, who will be coming down from Tacoma. So, yeah, check that out.
Okay. This is a Black Spatial Imaginary at Paragon Gallery. next to Portland Community College Cascade Campus, near the corner of North Albina Avenue and Killingsworth Street. Sherita Town, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Eric. Yeah.
You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO FM 90.7. My name is Eric Bartels. Thanks for being with us.
I'm Naomi Klein, and you are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Pathway 1000 Community Kickoff on Saturday, October 7th at 10 a.m. at PCC's Workforce Training Center in Portland. Pathway 1000 is a Portland Community Reinvestment Initiatives campaign to mitigate displacement and reclaim the historic heart and soul of Portland's African American community in North and Northeast Portland. The purpose of this initiative is to build prosperity for African Americans and others displaced from Portland's North and Northeast neighborhoods by creating 1,000 affordable homes. Again, that's the Pathway 1000 Community Kickoff, Saturday, October 7th, 10 a.m. at PCC's Workforce Training Center, 5600 Northeast 42nd Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Les habla César Chávez. Escuchan a Radio KBOO, Radio de la Comunidad.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 12 o'clock, and up next is Buscando America, followed by Far Radio at 1:30, and then at 2:30 to 4 is Radio Tonale. After that, we will have Democracy Now!, and then our own independently produced news that KBOO produces each day on their own for the 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock time slot. Thank you so much for listening. KBOO keeps you informed, and you can get involved. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member, or come on down here to South 8th Street, just a little